Hello and welcome to Secondhand Film Critics, your favorite source for mildly pretentious, semi-uneducated, and highly unqualified opinions on movies. I am Dr. Kayla, and I am here with my co-host.
Noah Knight.
Wow.
Kind of alliteration, even though there's a K. Speaking of alliteration-ish, today's episode is the May Marvel doubleheader of Moon Knight and Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness.
Wow.
It's a lot of M's. I don't think we're going to call it the May Marvel doubleheader, probably just Marvel doubleheader, but I had to throw May in there to just get another
Sure, M. Of course.
So, yeah, it's the alliteration is the name of the game today.
Have we done a Marvel episode this year yet?
Yeah, we did. Hawkeye was technically this year.
Oh, okay.
But that was like right at the beginning. So sure. It was even before our recap. So is it even an episode this year if it's before our recap? I don't know. And it came out last year. So
yeah, so this is technically the first like 2022 Marvel episode we are doing. Yeah. Unfortunately,
we made it 4 months.
First of many.
Wow. Well, yeah. I mean, I don't know if we're going to do all the shows. I think it will depend on if we think the shows are worth talking about. You know?
Yeah. We'll definitely have to see. Definitely the movies. But yeah. We'll see about the shows.
Well, do we even think that Black Panther 2 is coming out anymore?
No.
That is like
There's
a joke
no way.
At this point. Like the only thing I've heard from the production of that movie are delays.
Nonsense.
I've heard nothing
just
else.
Absolute
so
nonsense.
I have very little faith in
I have
them
to say
the,
though
that date.
Maybe we could go back in other episodes and find me talking about this a billion times out of a billion, but they finally the Ant-Man Quantumania has been switched back. I have bitched about this in every single Marvel episode we've done. I said that I was excited for it, and then they changed the date, and I was like, oh no, and I complained, and some person in the universe heard my pleas, and I have been rewarded, and they have changed the release date back to February 17th next year, so I will be seeing it for my birthday weekend.
Wow.
And if it sucks, I guess we're gonna have to return to this and say, future
Man.
Kayla, I'm sorry.
I'm not sure the prospects are looking up for Ant-Man 2 or 3. I'm sorry. But you know,
well,
I hope
forget
it's good.
About Ant-Man 2 anyway. Not
well,
good.
That's what I'm saying. And Ant-Man 1 was not great in my opinion. And also now isn't she like an anti-vaxxer? So
she is.
Lots of stuff happening. But
which is
you know, it's all
but
it we'll just move on to the answers to our last week's question of the week. Which last week we talked in that episode about just our movies that we've been watching the last few months in 2022. And then we asked all of you, what is your favorite movie that you've seen this year? Whether that be an old movie or a new movie. We got mostly new movies, but we got a couple old movies too that people answered with. So a good mix for sure. I'm just going to point out these two because they're the same on Twitter. Both Caroline, who's been on three episodes, To All the Boys, and the October one.
And Hubie Halloween.
That one as well. How could I forget about Hubie Halloween? Wow, that's so embarrassing.
What a shame.
And God Jester. They both said After Yang, which, yeah, I talked about that a little bit on the episode last week.
Yeah, I haven't watched that one yet.
I feel like not a lot of people really talked about it, so it's cool that maybe it'll get like a second life.
I think because it went to Showtime, and Showtime, like a few people use, but it definitely is like one of the lesser used streaming services.
I don't know why A24 switched to Showtime, because they were big on Prime. That was like their main platform, and then they switched to Showtime. They must have got like a good deal or something.
I don't know. Yeah.
Can tell ya. We were talking about Hubie Halloween, and so I'll just mention the Adam Sandler movie we got as well from Robbie. They said Punch Drunk Love, which I haven't seen in a long time, so I might have to rewatch that one because I remember like liking it but not loving it. But it's also I don't know if it's one where you're gonna love it on the first.
Remember
watch.
That I was not a fan.
I don't think you ever will be. I don't know if that's going to be your kind of movie.
It's not. It's really not my kind of movie. Most of his movies are not my movies, so.
Hey, you like Boogie Nights, so that was my win. That was my win for the cinema swap on that one. What else did we get here?
So we got Speed from 1994 from Bryce. Have you seen that one?
I haven't. I have not either. Ashamedly. Maybe we could do it for We've Never Seen. We say this every time.
Every time there's a movie, we're like, oh, we haven't seen that. I just added to the list of a billion movies we've never seen before.
Right, yeah. No, I think it would be fun. And maybe I'll watch it this year because it's...
That's a Keanu one, right?
Right, yeah. And I know it's like maybe not set in summer, but I know a lot of people like watching it in the summer because it's just like a blockbuster kind of thing.
Yeah, sure.
Maybe we could do it in the summer. I don't know.
We could.
We'll have to
see. Have some gaps. It just depends on how things fall into place. I don't know.
Yeah. Okay, so in terms of some new movies we got... Both Waffle and Rebecca said Everything Everywhere All at Once. And also the Bready Broads Pod also said that one, which is the one I assumed most people would say. Like, we would get that answer definitely multiple times, I thought.
Yeah, definitely. And then Bloody Broads, which is my friend Jamie, who hosts a horror podcast. So if you're into horror, that is definitely a podcast you should check out. But she also said The Night House, which... was one I remember seeing previews for, but never watched. Like, it looked pretty creative. You never saw it, did you?
No, I didn't. This is one that I probably would be interested in, though. It's definitely, like, in that, like, mid-budget horror, kind of, like, it kind of faded into that, like, The Malignant was kind of at around the same time, I think.
And I think
so
this
was, like,
is HBO as well.
Oh, interesting.
I remember seeing the trailers and thinking like it looked cool, but not something like something that would be probably a little bit too scary for me.
It's a psychological horror film, so perhaps. Yeah, that's a good one though. One that maybe not many people would expect. We also got another answer from Waffle. They said Everything Everywhere, and then she also said 21 Jump Street as well for like an older one, which we did an episode on this year.
We did, and we liked it. I wouldn't say it's my favorite that I've seen this year, but I did enjoy it.
Yeah, definitely. It was definitely fun.
And then Danny, of course, said Kimmy, which is definitely an interesting one. He said it was a tight, streamlined thriller that doesn't overstay its welcome. Did you watch that one?
I didn't. This actually reminded me that I need to watch this because it came out like pretty early in the year. It was when you're kind of in the phase of the semester where you're still trying to get in the groove, and it kind of fell through the cracks a little bit. And then I just feel like not a lot of people really talked about it after the first week it was out, so I might have
heard some good things about it, or I remember like when people were watching it.
Yeah, it's definitely one I want to see. This in like movies like Fresh that came out as well in the early half of the year, like it's like smaller like 2022 movies like that, I definitely want to maybe knock off the watch list to add them to the ranking, because you gotta beef up that ranking. That's all. Sure. That's all that matters. My mom commented and she said Batman. We watched. I watched this with her when I went to see it a second time.
Wow.
And so this would also be my answer, I think.
I think it would be mine too.
I'd have to look at the old movies that I've seen, but I don't think I've seen anything older that's not 2022 that can come to mind that has been better than this. I did actually just watch Miller's Crossing last night, and that was also really good. So probably maybe one of those two.
Rewatches that I've done, so it's hard to say.
I don't
say.
Know if those count. Yeah,
I mean, it's, I rewatched it, I Paddington,
like,
Pride and
right,
Prejudice.
I rewatched Lady Bird. I think,
but
it's like
I feel like those
first
don't
watches.
Count, you know. But I would say Batman would. It's definitely my number one of 2022 movies.
Oh
for
yeah,
sure.
For sure. No spoilers for the Doctor Strange review later in the episode, but yeah, didn't beat Batman.
No, no way.
Yeah. Yeah, those are all good answers. I like the mix of the older ones as well as the newer ones. It's good to see some newer movies that are getting a lot of love this early in the year, because usually this is when not as highly acclaimed movies come out, but we've gotten some pretty good ones so far, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, very cool.
And I hope the momentum continues into the summer. Let's move into this doubleheader here.
Wow.
Isn't doubleheader a sports reference, right?
It is. I was also about league. to m- It's in my wheelhouse. Sports. Go sports.
Sports ball.
I was going to make a doubleheader joke about Steven and Mark being like,
And then. Well, and also there's multiple Doctor Stranges. Double Doctor Stranges. So, yeah, let's move into our Moon Knight review here, which is the newest Disney Plus show, Marvel Disney Plus show. The first of, they think, is there going to be two more, three more?
This
I think only
year,
two more because they're doing the Guardians
this year.
One.
Guardian Special, She-Hulk, and Miss Marvel are this year.
Wow.
Right? I think those are
And those are, and all three of them, we kind of talked about this in the Hawkeye one, but all three of them are like new superheroes that we haven't seen yet in any of the movies, which I think is notable because last year was very reliant on fan favorites or people that maybe we needed to wrap up their arcs. And all this year is all focusing on new characters. As in the shows that I mean,
yeah.
And I think this one was definitely looked at least maybe when the trailer dropped as like maybe potentially gonna like opening a new phase. I'm just, I'm not getting into my thoughts on it yet, but I'm just saying,
yeah,
I think it was like kind of prematurely like crowned as like, I don't know, starting a new precedent.
Hard because, yeah, it's kind of the first big, was the first big one of a new hero for a show. And, like, obviously we have Oscar Isaac in it and Ethan Hawke. Yep. So it's, like, massive, big name people that everyone loves. Everyone loves Oscar Isaac. And all the, like, original trailers and posters, like, there was a lot of hype built around this. I remember when they did D23 and did like a first look or whatever, I don't remember. Everyone was like, oh, the other show's fine, but like Moon Knight was the show.
We're gonna do like, but for both of these, like a non-spoiler section and a spoiler section. So right now we're just in non-spoilers. The show, the character of Moon Knight, is about like this character who has multiple personalities, you know, and I think that people thought that that would be like just an interesting thing for the creators and the directors, writers to explore in the character rather than just like another kind of alien superhero character that comes to Earth and has to figure out his powers. Like, it's just a different kind of superhero that we're used to. And like you said, we also Oscar Isaac, who everyone loves, Ethan Hawke, who I love. I think a lot of people like him.
Yeah.
And it was like, I remember when they first started this, wasn't it like Oscar Isaac like convinced Ethan Hawke to do it? Like he just went to his house one day or
think
something.
So.
I remember that story.
That sounds vaguely familiar.
So like even from the beginning, it was had a lot of hype behind it.
Yeah, and I think part of that too was people were hoping for something a little bit darker. Like
definitely.
Not as dark as like, I guess like Daredevil would be considered kind of more mature, but like TV 14 dark, you know, a little
more
horror elements, maybe some sort of supernatural fun and psychological, like stuff like that. And so I think people had high hopes in regards for the themes and the story and the character.
Yeah. Well, not to burst our bubble, but this has definitely been a mixed reaction. I would say maybe this and Falcon Winter Soldier are probably the most mixed reactions. I think the other three had pretty positive reviews.
Yeah.
But these two have gotten very mixed reviews. And I would say it's not even the kind where like some people love it, some people hate it. I feel like everyone is just like really mid on this show.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like literally mixed in like the middle, mid mix. I don't know what I'm trying to say, but yeah, what are your thoughts on Moon Knight?
I thought it was pretty bad, unfortunately, which is such a shame because I was looking forward to it. I watched it. I've been busy, so I watched it all in the past like 4 days. It was really hard to like convince myself to finish it. The first couple into the third episode, I was like really struggling with it. I was not into it. I was not invested. I think by the end, I thought it was a little more interesting, like maybe episodes four and five. Once they actually, I mean, I don't know if this is a spoiler, but once they actually got to Egypt, I don't think
that's
a spoiler.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's
in
like
the trailer.
It's not really a spoiler to say that there's a lot of exposition in this show, and they don't really, like, they, like, basically all the first three episodes are all exposition.
Yeah, it's so long. Like,
so it takes a long time to get to what they're actually talking about.
It just so much... I don't know if that... I don't know how much to say non-spoiler, yeah, but there's him trying to figure out what's going on, like, in the first two episodes, that it's like, oh my gosh, like, we could have cut out, like, three of these scenes of him trying to figure stuff out and, like, just start a little later.
I do think episode one was fine. I liked episode one. And I think if that was the only episode where he was trying to figure it out, it would have been good.
Yeah.
Because like I said, like, no, not like I said, but you said you watched this chronologic, like, really close together. I watched it not like week by week. I think I watched it like maybe week by week the first 2 weeks. And then I kind of took a break. I don't know. Like, I watched a little more sporadically, but after the first week, I did watch the first episode and I was like, I'm pretty excited for this. Like, it definitely was a slower start, but... like, if this is more of a character show, character-based show, it makes sense. But it's like they couldn't really get past that character, like, building. And I'm all for character building, but you kind of got to do it, like, in conjunction with keeping the plot moving along. And rather than it's just, like, this guy, like, sitting around, like, just trying to figure himself out. I don't know. It just seems like it's a very complicated story that they have to tell. And I just don't think that they knew how to tell it in an episode format, which is kind of what one of my thoughts is this is like the biggest I felt about this with any of the shows on the Marvel Disney Plus shows. But I just don't know why, like, these aren't movies, because this especially just felt like a movie that they had to turn into a TV show, because there's not even like an episodic feeling to it, because the episodes don't really like end and have like their own personality to them. It's just kind of like they just stop and the story just stops and it's like, okay, we'll pick it up in the next episode. But there's not really like an episodic feeling to like why this needs to be a 6-episode TV show. It just feels like a long story that I need to like pause in between, like I had took a bathroom break or something.
Yeah, I think we've said this before that it's really weird to see them try to establish a story arc in a TV show format. So, like, WandaVision was kind of going up, and then all of a sudden they're like, okay, climax. Like, they didn't really know how to do a TV show. It was still a movie, but in episode format. Loki, well, Falcon and Winter Soldier was bad in general. Yeah. and then... Loki, I think, worked the best for the format.
Yeah, I agree.
And felt the most developed. But I think that story definitely had the right elements in it to be episodic because of like what was going on with the TVA and being able to establish like the multiverse timeline and all that. And I think Hawkeye, like, it worked because we were introducing a new hero. So there was enough, like, mix of Kate Bishop to be able to kind of bring in her and Florence Pugh's character.
Episode.
I don't remember
like
her character's name
Yelena,
right now.
Right?
Yelena.
With the Y? Yeah.
Yeah.
No, yeah, I think it's, like, a lot of those shows, even the worst ones, I think were better maybe than the show at making episodes feel more distinct. Like, this episode is about them going here and figuring this out, whereas this show was just like, it just, like I said, it really felt like they just were like taking, they made like a 6-hour movie and then they like put cut, like figured out where they're gonna like make the cuts, like,
I
okay,
think
50 minutes cut,
this would have been a great movie.
That's what I said
yeah
I think,
like,
this seems like, I mean, I think someone could edit it into a movie potentially.
I'll do it,
like, I would
I'll
like
download
to see
all the episodes and I'm gonna edit this into a 2-hour movie.
I think it'd be like, I'd have to be like 240 at least if you're working with these clips. Maybe if
sure.
you rewrote it, it would be 2 hours,
but I definitely think like there's enough of added space that's happening over and over and over that it really could have been cut down. For sure. And I think it would have been more interesting as a movie, because I think that Moon Knight is a very interesting character. The girl whose name I don't remember, even though I just finished this show, Layla, who I don't remember what her hero she became. She was very cool as well. I loved when she like did her, she did her arm. Sorry, I'm spoiling the show right now. But that's in the trailer. Well, it's in the trailer.
That is in the trailer.
She does her arm thing, and like it has like the feathers. Very cool. She was, but like I don't know. It was just boring the way it was like formatted. Mm. Like it just.
Yeah.
There were a few things that were really interesting, and then I felt like the interesting stuff got lost in everything else, because once it actually got interesting, it was like happened so quick, and then it was just over, I guess.
Yeah. Let's move into spoilers now, because I don't know if there's much more we can say without really spoiling anything. So moving into spoilers, I think with the interesting thing, like you were saying, like there are a lot of cool ideas, which is why I think like if it was a movie, they could just like take out all the boring ideas and keep the cool ones.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a lot of cool things they do. I think his character is obviously the most interesting part of the show. That's why I think like 4 and 5 are the best episodes, because that's like actually like getting into his character and making us understand him at like the very end of the show. Whereas maybe if that was at the beginning, it would make me be more invested in him. But I like the idea of him having those two personalities and them like going back and forth. And when they actually, at the end, kind of became Moon Knight, I guess. And like going back and forth, like one is wearing the suit, the other is wearing like the superhero suit. So like, you know, if you've seen the show, you know what I mean. And like their voices, like I think that is a really interesting idea. And that in the future could be really interesting when he's in like other movies or stuff. And I think a lot of people have said that like, they think either if they do another season, which I don't think they will, or just another movie or something, like he'll be more interesting in that than in this, because this just like, I don't know. It felt like it took such a long way around to developing his character. Whereas if they had just done it earlier, I don't know. I just don't think they needed all that stuff in the middle.
Yeah, I totally agree. Because I thought the first episode was interesting enough where he's like figuring stuff out. But then it like, it just kept happening where he's like, what is this? I'm not, you know, and then Layla comes in and he's like, I'm not Mark. And then it's,
his accent is funny. I love
it. Was just the go around again and again and again. And Layla's like, come on, Mark. And it's like, how many freaking times are we going to be like, I'm not Mark, you're Mark. It's like, oh my gosh, please just. I don't know. Like, that I wish would have been cut down. But then once it got into the actual Egypt, like, mythology and all that, that's what's cool, is, like, all the stuff about Egypt, because that's, like, very new to the Marvel Universe, but, like, is something I was always interested in as a kid, because, like, I don't know if you ever had one of, you know, those books that you would get at the library or whatever that have... There was, like, dragonology and Egyptology.
I think,
And they had, like, a thing in the middle of the book, and they were, like, the listeners know what I'm talking about. Brooke Solomon is listening to this, she knows what I'm talking about, I would guarantee. But I was, like, into those from the library, and then, like, the Rick Riordan Kane Chronicles series came out. And so Egypt mythology was very cool. I took an ancient Egypt class in high school that I, like, flunked really bad. I got a D in it, unfortunately.
Bummer. D for...
Yeah, too bad Stephen Grant was not my teacher.
I know, he's great. He was explaining it. I was like, thank you.
Because, like, the way he talked about it in the museum, and you're like, oh, wow, this is really cool. And then when it got into some of the stuff, I don't know, it got a little wishy-washy. But I thought that some of the stuff, the lore was really cool. And I think maybe some people who are watching this, it could help them kind of get into that kind of thing, which is kind of cool, I think. Because that's very different from other Marvel content. Because Egypt mythology is, like, real mythology. I don't know how accurate a lot of this was to, like, Egypt mythology. I'm assuming the comics are pretty, like, accurate to Egypt stuff.
I would think so,
but it's cooler than like having to understand Marvel mythology to
science
me.
Fiction, like, mythology.
Yeah, like I'd rather watch this and be invested and involved in some of the lore here than like Thanos and where he came from and all that crap.
Yeah, I mean, the thing with mixing the mythologies for me, like, I just don't have to, I can't think about it, but there's like, there's too many things, because there's like the multiverse, and then there's the TVA, and then there's the big Eternals guys, and then there's the Egyptians. Like, I don't know what the ranking of power is. Are there, if there's a multiverse, like, are there multiple gods of, I just can't think about it. It's just too much.
I don't know how Moon Knight, someone else probably knows, who's listening to this, but how Moon Knight connects to everything else. I'm not really up on all that. I don't really know.
Yeah, because it really felt very separate. Like, it had mentioned nothing about other superheroes, nothing about, like, anything.
Yeah, like
I felt like it could have been
vibing in Egypt. I don't know. It's very strange. I'm sure it'll connect with...
Very Doctor Strange.
It feels... It feels closest to, like, Eternals, I think, with the way that
Definitely,
it'll connect,
yeah.
like, old, ancient magic.
Old and new.
I don't know. We'll see. I just, like, overall, this show, please don't come for me. This was, like, a 2 or 2.5 star show for me out of 5.
Wow. Bummer. It was probably closer to a 3 for me. I think, like, there was definitely boring parts, or, like, the pacing, I think, of overall was just terrible. But there was stuff I enjoyed. Like I said, I really liked, thought his character was interesting, especially when they got into the deeper into him in episode 5. I thought that was easily my favorite episode. And I think definitely will, like, help in the future when he's in movies to, like, garner a lot of, like, empathy for him. Or, like,
yeah,
just because you really understand where he's coming from. And I really think that both Oscar Isaac and Ethan Hawke gave very good performances. So, like, even in the boring parts, I was able to just, like, focus on them. Like, especially, I thought the show was going to be easily the best after that first scene with
in
him
the...
putting the glass in his shoes.
Oh, okay. Like, yeah, that was not the same scene, but yeah.
That was, like, a great opening. And, like, Ethan Hawke in general, I thought, gave, like, a really interesting performance. I love, like, cult stuff.
I really liked that scene in the village where it was,
yeah,
like,
that scene was good.
Yeah, I thought that scene was great. I wish there would have been more, like, trippy stuff like that, because I thought that scene was, like, very different and interesting. And I wish there would have been, like, more of that, I guess.
Yeah. Before we go to an ad break and then talk about Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness, I want to get your thoughts on the ending, because I think that's, like, the biggest spoiler, I guess. The reveal that he has another personality.
Yeah.
I think, personally, I think it's cool, because I think that will give us more, like, him... I don't know. It will just make him more interesting and, like, give them more to develop for him. I think making it the... Because that's the reason that they win in the end. Like, that's, like, the climax of the movie.
Yeah,
is because of his other personality.
Personality.
So I feel like that really, that felt cheap to me. Because I think it's fine if you want to reveal that at the end, but that shouldn't be the answer to his problems, like, in this plot. Because this plot hasn't had that at all. So it felt like a really big cop out.
Yeah, because, like, I mean, there had been a few leads to it, obviously, where they'd been like, that wasn't me. And Steven was like, that wasn't me. And Mark's like, but that wasn't me. Like, when he killed some of the other people.
Right, yeah.
So you kind of know that there's someone else lurking in there, but, like, because, like you said, it wasn't established, and we're, like, connected to Steven and Mark, and they just did all this stuff that is, like, about to win, and you're like, oh my gosh, wow. And then it kind of just, like, ends, and what's his name? Joey? Is that the other guy's name? John?
Steven?
Johnny? No, the new guy. The third guy.
About?
The third guy.
Oh,
the third
I have no idea what the third guy's name is. I forgot. No clue.
Just that. I don't know. I definitely think it's a cop out. It's cheap.
Yeah, it just felt like a Deus Ex Machina kind of thing, where it's like that. It wasn't really it felt like it wasn't established in the story by the writers. And so it kind of just felt like a very cheap way. And they kind of, like, broke the rules of the universe, even though he is in the universe of the story.
Yeah, and it's harder to, like, make us care You know?
Right. And like, he was fighting so cool. I think they could have just made him win. Like, his fight at the end was awesome.
Yeah.
And if he had just won, that would have been like the culmination of like him finding who he was, you know, which was mm-hmm. all what the whole story was about. But it kind of just made like there feel like there was not much of a conclusion to his arc. Yeah. Where like, I think they could have concluded his arc and then hinted at the end that there's still like more to come. Like, it was like, an arc, but the end of the arc didn't fully touch the ground, and there's going to be another little arc. I don't know. That didn't make any sense.
No, I got that. I know what you mean.
No, I just think that in the ending in general, the last episode, like, we don't need to talk about this anymore, but the last episode was not very good, because I don't know why these last episodes, they feel like they have to wrap things up so fast, because it's a TV show, and you can make it as the episode longer. The last episode is the shortest episode in the series, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
And, like, it just felt so rushed. And, like, I don't know why they feel like they need to cut down. If every other episode is longer than 50 minutes, then just make the finale longer than 50 minutes and make it better paced. I don't know. A lot of weird choices. So, yeah, this is definitely more disappointing than, like, I don't know. It definitely didn't meet my expectations, but it didn't, like, crush them either. I think it was just like a very low to like mid to low show.
Yeah.
And so in terms of ranking, I'm trying to remember. So I have Loki at the top. This is Disney Plus Marvel shows. So Loki, I'm trying to remember them all. WandaVision, Hawkeye, Moon Knight, and then Falcon Winter Soldier would be at the bottom. That'd be what mine was.
Yeah, so mine is Loki, then Hawkeye, then WandaVision, then Moon Knight, and then Falcon and the Winter Soldier. I really, like, Moon Knight could be at the bottom for me, but, like, I just think about how I literally could not remember what happened at the end of Falcon and the Winter Soldier.
Falcon and Winter Soldier, what even was that about? Like besides just, like, him being Captain America. The only
scenes that I remember and like from that are, like, Sam and Bucky scenes, and I can't let myself like those scenes. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, you only remember the scenes they put in the fan cams.
Yeah, which... and then Moon Knight was fine, but also not great. And then people know my thoughts on WandaVision.
We have a whole episode on WandaVision, actually.
But I love Loki and Hawkeye. Those are probably really the only two that, like, I would say I, like, really enjoyed were Loki and Hawkeye.
Well, speaking of WandaVision, let's go to a quick ad break. And then when we come back, we will be talking about, it's technically the Doctor Strange sequel, but it's really the WandaVision sequel. So let's go to an ad break, and then we'll go back to that.
We're back.
We have entered into the multiverse, and we are going through the portal. Whoa!
I'm paint.
This is sound design. We land on the ground.
Oh man!
And we are now in the other review land. We just left the Moon Knight review, and now we're in this one. So this is Marvel's newest movie. It's their first one of the year. Like we said, there technically are two more slated for the rest of the year, but it's really going to be, I think, only one.
And this is really the first one that's establishing, like, everything out. Like, it's setting up a lot of what is to come, like, with the multiverse.
Yeah, or at least I think we'll get into this maybe, but that is what I think most people assumed, at least going in, was, like, this would be, like, the one to crack it all open, which is just funny, because I feel like we keep saying that, where they're, like, Eternals is going to be the one that's going to break it all open, and then they're, like, oh, Spider-Man's going to be the one that's going to break it all open, and it's, like, maybe we just need to stop saying that, because I don't think that this is a good to go in with those expectations, but this is a sequel, obviously, to Doctor Strange, which came out in 2016, I think. And I don't know if Doctor Strange is really anyone's favorite Marvel character, so it's kind of funny they have to, like, basically make it also Wanda movie, because it's like no one's really coming for Doctor Strange. I'm sorry, like, have you seen his facial hair?
Especially not after he killed Tony, and then, like,
I forgot about that.
Yeah, like, I mean, it was basically he was the one that killed Tony. And then at the, in Spider-Man, he's like kind of just a tool to Peter. So I don't know. Definitely not my favorite.
Yeah, he's just kind of, he feels to me more like an Iron Man clone, like a lesser Iron Man, because he has like all the same problems, I guess. I think in this movie, it made me like him a little bit more, but we'll get into all of that.
Yeah.
So right now, this movie is sitting at like a 7.5 on IMDb and a 75% on Rotten Tomatoes. So 75's all around. And again, like the other one, this is getting kind of mixed reviews, but not middling. I would say this is more of like the really liked it and like the really didn't like it kind of thing. That's what I'm seeing more of. Not many people being like, yeah, 3 stars, this was okay, this one was fine. I don't know, it just doesn't seem like that kind of movie. Quick box office numbers, because we don't get to talk about that with TV shows. This is doing pretty good right now. It's estimated to make, we record these on Sunday, so we don't have the exact numbers for Sunday ever for these, but it's estimated to make about 185 million, which is pretty good. And I think it's like kind of, I think already before we came out, it was like seen as the beginning of the summer box office. Thursday got 36 million, Friday 54 million. And then Saturday it actually went up to 57, which is interesting because it, I think the reviews were definitely not like raving. And so it's interesting that Saturday it actually went up, because usually that only happens if the reviews are really good. But yeah, and then Sunday definitely is estimated to be like 37, mostly too, I think, because of Mother's Day. Like, I don't think many people are bringing their moms to Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness for Mother's Day. I'm sure there's some people, but I don't know if it's like the one that's going to win out. If anything, they'll go like watch The Lost City or something. But yeah, it's doing pretty good. And I'll be interested to see though, like, if it keeps up or if more people are just like, eh, I don't need to rewatch this. Because I think that's where most of their money comes from, is from fans like seeing their movies 5 times.
Yeah, sure.
like Spider-Man, like people seeing that like every day basically.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, let's just get into our non-spoiler convo here. So I'll just kick it off at least with like expectation wise, because there's a lot of stuff going into like these expectations, I think. Sure. At least for me, because like I said, I don't love Doctor Strange 1. I actually rewatched it. It's like the most like mid movie I think ever. Like, it's just like the most like aggressively fine movie of all time. It definitely, like, rewatching it didn't get me that excited for this. But I've been looking forward to this one for a while, mostly because it's Sam Raimi's return after like 9 years, I think. His last movie was in 2013, I believe, Oz the Great and Powerful, which is, when I saw it, I thought it was a great movie. But it's not a good movie. So it's interesting that this is like his return is to this movie, because it's also like his return to superhero movies after the Spider-Man movies. And I think a big question going into this for a lot of people was like, how much creative freedom are they going to let him have? Is it going to feel like a Sam Raimi movie, or is it going to feel more like his style got conformed by Marvel? It's an interesting conversation to have. I think people don't, I mean, I'm the first person to bash Marvel, okay? I just don't think people give Marvel enough credit in that area, because I do think they are better than other studios at giving well-renowned directors creative freedom, at least in the last, like, few years, you know? Because I think Taika Waititi got, I think, a decent amount of freedom in Thor 3, and it looks like way more in this next one.
Yeah.
Ryan Coogler, I think, got a lot of freedom. I think Chloe Zhao. Like, I think they are good at letting the directors at least embed their style into the movie, if not like maybe their writing. And that's mostly what people watch Sam Raimi movies for, is the style. Cause like the Evil Dead movies, the first person point of view horror stuff, like the style is why people like him. And so I think that was the thing, is like, is this going to be his style? And the production was so, weird, because it was Scott Derrickson who did the last one, and then he apparently wanted to make it like, he said he wanted to make it like The Witch, like the A24 movie, and I'm like, I don't know, or Hereditary, or like, what are you talking about, bud? And so they got rid of him, and then they brought in Sam Raimi, and like, I mean, the script wasn't written when he came. I tried to read a bunch of stuff, it's kind of confusing, but then because of COVID delays, they got to write a little bit more of the script. But even when they started filming, the ending hadn't been completely finished yet. And so it was like they were kind of filming like in like they were writing and they were trying to keep the writing up with the filming. And so it just felt like a really hectic production. And so a lot of questions going into this, at least for me. But I ended up really liking it personally, and we'll get into why. But what about you? What were you kind of thinking going into this one?
I didn't really care. I am not a super big Wanda fan. Not for any reason in particular. I just, like, out of that round of heroes and after WandaVision, like, I like her, but I'm not like, oh my gosh, Wanda. And so I wasn't, like, I guess super excited on that front. I'm also not a super big Doctor Strange fan, so
But we are big Wong fans.
We are. I think... The big Wong fan. Love him. Was very excited for him. They should just make a whole Wong movie, in my opinion.
Well, did you see... Sorry, this is like out... But did you see, like, he wanted... Apparently, I saw this on TikTok, so it might not be real. But apparently he said he wanted, like, them to do a show with him and Ned and, like, him teaching Ned how to, like,
oh, that would be great. Because wouldn't that be so good?
Even if they did a
couple shorts, like...
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, just a few, like, lessons with, like... Lessons with Wong or something. I'm trying to think of something, like, more creative. And then, like,
they call it, like, lesson one.
Yeah, like, and it's, like, 7-minute episodes, and it's, like, maybe 6 to 8 episodes of him teaching one little thing, and it's just, like, some goofy
little...
That'd be
so fun.
Wow. This is like the Flashpoint series, I'm telling you. Disney Plus needs to hire us to tell them what to do.
We have so many good
ideas. You can't tell me that wouldn't be the biggest hit ever. Both of those things. Anyway, back to it. So I think one thing that I was looking forward to, and that I'm more excited for in the future, I've said before, is establishing characters into the Young Avengers. Mm. We've gotten a few already, and this was kind of the start of America Chavez being introduced for Young Avengers. And then obviously we have, I almost said Timmy and Tommy. This is not Animal Crossing. Billy and Tommy will also likely be in the Young Avengers, so I was excited to see maybe them establish those characters just a little bit more, see what happens.
Hopefully their powers aren't singing or
songwriting. Yes. Ice cream. I don't even remember.
No spoilers.
Sorry.
But
sorry.
They're very bad singers and songwriters.
But they're still cute. So I guess, like, I kind of was looking forward to more some of the fringe elements of this movie. I am not a super big Sam Raimi fan. Like,
you haven't really seen many of his movies because you don't really like horror movies.
It's not that I'm not a fan of his, or not that I'm not a fan of his Spider-Man movies. I think he's a cool dude, but I wasn't specifically going into this being like, oh, I'm seeing his style. Like, I definitely could recognize his style in it, but I know a lot of other people were, like, looking forward to some of those elements. I kind of was just looking for a good time.
That's what I was looking for, was his elements. But also a good time, you know. So this movie, I did really like it. I do have issues with it, but I was surprised how much I liked it, I guess.
Sure.
And, like, I think this is definitely not the best story that Marvel has ever done. That's definitely one of the weaker elements, is like a lot of the plot or some of that more elements, but at least in terms of just like the characters, the effects, the fight scenes, the camera movement, like it was just fun. And there was a lot of like times where I just was like either gasped or like had my mouth open. I was like, oh my gosh, that's so cool. Like, and I don't think I've really done that many times in Marvel movies where it's like, I'm just watching and like, I'm just saying, like, wow, that is so cool that they decided to do that. Because a lot of their decisions always just feel very corporate or, like, the safest decision, you know? And it's, like, there was some things in here where I was like, wow, that was a cool decision that they made. And I've never really felt that while watching any of these movies and really a lot of, like, more modern blockbusters, like Jurassic World. Like, I'm never going to think that about a Jurassic World movie. So I guess that was my thing, was, like, I just thought it was, like, surprisingly, like, exciting to watch. And had a lot of things in it that I'm not used to seeing in 2022 blockbusters.
I liked it. I don't know. I didn't love it. And I feel like I don't have a ton of, like, criticism for it, because I just didn't care that much. I'm gonna be honest. I went into the theater, and I just kind of sat there, and I was like, wow, this is fun. And then I left. So I wasn't, like, really analyzing anything specifically about it that I liked or didn't like. I guess some of the things non-spoilery that I liked.
Spoilery.
Yeah, I loved Wong. I liked the way the characters all kind of functioned together. Mm. I appreciated Strange and Chavez together. I thought that they were...
Yeah, she was really cool.
She was great. I'm really excited to see her in the rest of whatever project, other projects she's going to be in. I'm not entirely sure, but I thought that she was really cool. And I thought that she worked really well with Wong and Strange, like their style of humor,
yes,
which is something
definitely.
That's always concerning when you throw in like a new character into the mix. And it's kind of like, are they going to click? I don't know. So I think it was kind of similar with like how I felt about Kate and Clint in Hawkeye.
Yes, definitely.
Kind of that mentor mentee, like the older curmudgeonly hero having to like learn how to adapt because they have compassion for this kid. I thought that was cool. And I think it worked. Mm-hmm. And I think it really helped to humanize Strange a lot more.
I feel like that is
non-spoiler enough. But
no. Yeah.
I definitely think that out of everything, those were my favorite aspects. Is just kind of the banter and the kind of fun that they had doing some of the battle sequences and stuff like that. And then just kind of the more cool elements that they were able to do. They did a lot of unique, because of the type of magic that they use, obviously it's not something like... Captain America throwing a shield, like, or Bucky, like, punching and shooting people.
Right.
Like, you actually get to have things happen with the magic that they're using. And I think that makes everything much more interesting anyway in battle sequences. Mm. And so I thought that allowed for a lot of room of, like, being able to keep the audience engaged because you're not really sure how the battle is going to go or what's going to happen next, both with Scarlet Witch and with Doctor Strange Wong as well, and like having portals and all that. Like it just is very cool. Like they have a lot of wiggle room to do kind of more unique and creative fights and stuff.
Yeah, and I think even more so than previous movies. Like I think Doctor Strange the first movie obviously has like the same magic elements because they're using the same stuff besides the multiverse stuff, but it's all kind of, except for the very end of Doctor Strange, they really just kind of base it in the world. Like there's that, remember the mirror dimension. And so it's basically just like they're creating another version of the world. And so we're just seeing like a lot of buildings collapse on each other, which is cool, but it's not as like, I don't know, psychedelic, I guess is maybe a way to put it, and like really visually creative.
Yeah.
It's more just like, oh yeah, this kind of looks like Inception. And in this one, they just use a lot of the magic in more creative ways. And then because there's the multiverse element, they're able to use like just a lot more visually interesting ways of portraying the magic. We'll get into that in spoilers because there's a couple cool fight scenes and stuff.
Yeah, like it's not just New York anymore. Like,
right. Yeah, exactly.
Which is like really nice. Like as much as I loved New York, Christmas New York in Hawkeye, which I think definitely gave it a bit of a more unique standpoint. Mm. I think watching like No Way Home, it's like, ugh, like we're back here again. Yeah. And I think with this, because we're in the multiverse and we're at the temple, that name I can't remember.
The Sanctum.
The Sanctum. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That was actually not that hard, but my brain
it's all good.
But you know what I mean? Like, yeah, it gives you more... eye candy. I think that was another reason why Loki was so good, was because it was completely out of the universe that we're used to.
Yeah, and I think this is one thing about the movie that people kind of, I don't agree with, because I've seen some people say that the first, I think hour might be too much, maybe like 40 minutes of the movie feels like a very different movie than the rest. Because the first, it starts in New York, this isn't a spoiler. It starts in New York, and obviously it's about the multiverse, and so as the movie goes on, they're going to get more into the multiverse. But the first 40 minutes are pretty, like, what we would expect, like, from maybe Doctor Strange 1.
Yeah, very standard.
And I think a lot of people are like, yeah, it feels like it's, like, the first 40 minutes are, like, a regular Marvel movie, and then the rest is, like, a Sam Raimi movie. And I think that's kind of, maybe I'm reading too much into it, but I feel like it was kind of intentional. Because, like, before they enter the multiverse, obviously the stuff isn't going to be as interesting because, like, they're in New York still. And they're not, like, they're not going to have as many interesting environments yet because they just haven't gone there yet. And I think it actually makes, like, a really cool comparison between the two where it's, like, as the movie goes, it gets, like, more and more visually interesting and creative as they get farther into the multiverse and deal with more of these elements. So yeah, I think that was intentional. I know a lot of people are like, yeah, it just feels like this is made by two different people. okay, whatever.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
I mean, that's how movies work. Sorry. I don't know
right,
what to tell you.
and I do think, like, there is a fight in the beginning in New York, and I think the fight is, that's a cool fight. Like, they filmed it cool. It reminded me of Spider-Man, like a Spider-Man 2 fight on the building. But yeah, I'm trying to think about just what else without spoilers. Because I do think a lot of the stuff I would normally talk about in the non-spoilers kind of is a spoiler. Because there's, like, maybe certain, like, things that happen that maybe aren't a spoiler. But I think it's just cool if you just watch them happen. And you don't know about them going into it. I think, for me, the biggest issue was the pacing. Mm-hmm. I think Sam Raimi is very, like, doesn't have very many long movies. I don't know why it took me so long to figure out how to say that. And so this isn't uncommon for this movie to be, like, just over 2 hours, so it's very short, and you feel the fast pace. I think the fast pace works in some ways because it's cool, like, to have that ever-present momentum. And when a lot of these movies to me recently have felt like slogs sometimes because it's like 2 hours and 40 minutes, really, like, do I need that in this? Like, I've seen 26 other Marvel movies. I don't need that to be there this long. So I think the fast pace was refreshing, but, like, sometimes it's a little too fast, and I think there are story and, like, character elements I like, and I think if it was a little bit longer and allowed those to kind of breathe a little bit more, they would have been maybe a little more fleshed out rather than... I think the character is, like, there's some good ideas in there and some good character stuff, but it's very thin because of, like, how much they have to fit into this short runtime. And I think if they had to let, like, themselves expand just a little bit more in some of those scenes, let some of the scenes breathe a little, because some of the scenes, like, move so fast. I think the final shot, or the final scene, I guess, in this movie is really cool. Like, it ends really cool, but it's so fast. Like, it's like, I don't know, it probably is like a 15-second shot, and that could have been like a whole minute where they, like, drag, they kind of, like, pull you in. I'll get into spoilers, I guess, exactly what it is, but it's stuff like that where it just seems like they cut this down to the absolute bare minimum, and I would have liked it to have a little bit more space to breathe and really take in everything, I guess, was, like, my biggest thing.
Sure. Do you want to get into spoilers now?
Sure, yeah. We can get into some spoilers. Before I forget, that last scene, so, again, like, he walks out of his building, and I think it's a good character moment because it's kind of like he's accepting his new life, you know? Like, he's more... content with himself and, like, his place in the world, which is great, you know, it's cool. And I thought that was, like, a really heartwarming kind of thing. But it's like they literally give you, like, 4 seconds to feel that before the music, like, changes, and then he has, like, the third eye, and, like, it's, like, goes all crazy, which I think, like, that is cool. I love the music, the guitars, really cool cue. But I would have, like, why don't they just, like, give that, like, 20 seconds before that, like, just give us a little bit more time.
Yeah, like him embracing
sit with the message of the
New
movie.
York City life and vibing.
Right.
And, yeah.
Like, just give us time to breathe and, like, feel like, oh, same like with maybe with Moon Knight, maybe not in the same way, but, like, let us, like, feel the conclusion of this arc before you give us something else. Because it's like, I don't know. It just felt like a little too much too fast in that
yeah.
case specifically.
I guess one thing for me that felt too quick in the final climax, when Strange is becoming, maybe I should have watched the What If episode. I don't know if that's where
I didn't watch the What If episode.
Gap.
Yeah.
But yeah. He becomes the zombie Strange. But the whole thing with, like, the souls, I didn't totally understand what was going on. You have to accept them,
I guess, or, like, not be scared of them.
Yeah, and I
like, it was cool looking.
It was cool, and I was like, ooh, this is kind of, like, we haven't seen this before. But then I didn't understand what was going on, because it was kind of like, you have to protect me, and she's like, from what? And then he's like, the souls, and then the souls are like, ah! And it's like, what is happening? And that was so, it felt just very rushed to me, and I was like, I'm trying to catch up and be like,
try to understand what the souls are.
And because I felt like that was a very crucial moment, but I didn't understand what was happening. And maybe I should have watched the What If episode, but if that's the case, then that's stupid.
Well, because the What If, I feel like those, the whole argument about, like, should you have to watch the TV shows to understand the movies is valid, but I think especially for those, like, they marketed those as, like, extra.
Yeah.
And I'm not being like, oh, I can't believe that they put in stuff I didn't know. Like, I don't care. But I think it is weird if that is, like,
the case,
a quote-unquote requirement that to understand it better. Because I think there was the episode with Captain Carter. Like, that's an episode.
Yeah.
You know? And I think, personally, I was fine, like, not having saw that episode. And, like, I was able to, like, oh, cool, it's her. She's here. But maybe people that saw that episode had a little bit more
understanding
connection to her. But, like, it's not like I needed to see it to get into understand the movie.
So
but
stuff that, like that, you're saying, is, like, and even, like, thing. Maybe I should have rewatched Doctor Strange. I don't know. But a lot of the stuff with, like, the Darkhold and the Book of Vishanti, and then also, like, how Wanda went from, like, just kind of becoming the Scarlet Witch to, like, very evil Scarlet Witch. Like, I just felt it is
the book in that case.
Yeah, and I just felt like we didn't get that. Like, there just wasn't enough, I don't know, exposition or, like, explanation. Yeah. And I get that, like, they kind of just want to tell the story, but, like, for people who aren't, I mean, and I'm even up on everything. Like, I watched WandaVision.
Yeah, I know. Like, we don't even like this that much, and we are trying our hardest to keep up with the culture.
I felt like I would have enjoyed some of those moments better if I understood a little bit more. So I don't know, like you said, if they needed, you know, a little bit more stuff in there to maybe push the runtime a little bit. Maybe that should have been exposition. I don't know.
They probably had, like, a scene in there with just her, maybe, like, in that area that she's in, I guess, that feel. I don't know what you would call it.
Yeah, because that
she lives, like,
cool.
You could have a scene with just her, maybe, like, with the book, like, maybe just establishing that she's evil now. I don't know. Just because it felt that, like, reveal definitely felt very,
I think,
like,
it was cool.
Oh, she's the villain? Okay.
Well, it was very, very rushed. Like, it was like, she's the villain, and then he goes back and he's like, oh,
Wanda's
coming here.
Did you know that she was the villain
here.
Of this movie?
I did not, but I think that's because I tried to avoid as much as possible about this movie.
Okay, because that I didn't, and that was, like, I don't know. I don't know who I expected to be the villain, but it was just, like, a very quick, like, oh, okay, I guess she's bad now, and she's the reason that this monster is here. It just felt that definitely, like, the setup felt very,
and it was all very, very quick.
Chaotic.
And I still don't really understand what the Darkhold was or what, like, I guess it was a book.
Just an evil book. I don't know.
She
somehow
destroyed it
book.
In every universe, which is cool. I still think she's definitely the most powerful superhero. I don't know if Captain Marvel is more powerful, but I think Wanda is, like, so it was cool to see, like, the extent of her power, but I like, really did not, there just was so much that I was really confused about, which is just interesting, because I feel like for the most part I'm pretty on top of it. Like, even if there's stuff that I don't really know, like, I'm usually can kind of infer everything that needs to be given to me. And I just kind of sat there like, I really don't know what's going on. I guess this is cool, but, like,
At this point with the book and stuff, like, that stuff, I just don't really care. Like, I know the tropes. I'm like, okay, I don't care how the book is evil. I just know the book is evil. And so it's like, okay, I don't really care where the book came from at this point.
Well, and
a lot of
things that were just like she went to the temple in the snow with Wong, and she's like, oh, it's a throne for
table.
Me. And it's like, okay, what, like, where did we, how did we get here? Like, just trying to, like, piece some things together. I don't know. I just wish that maybe, I'm not someone who likes exposition even really, But, like, I just feel like we needed a little bit more to, like, make
Well, like
this...
I said, yeah. I think this meant needed, like, 20 more minutes. Because I know it was a long... There were longer cuts. And they made a lot of edits and a lot of reshoots and, like, take stuff out, put it in. And so I think they, like, were really trying to just make this as streamlined as it could have been. And I don't know why. Because they... What are they... Do they think that at this point people are just going to be like, oh, this movie is in 2 hours and 30 minutes. I'm definitely not seeing this now. Like, people don't, you have them. Just make your movie be what it needs to be.
The
no
other part that really
runtime.
Confused me that I was like super, I didn't understand was when Strange and Chavez are, they're contained. Detained, yes. I guess, and then they bring him before this panel. All
that
could have been cut because, like, all the stuff where he's just before the panel and they come out and they're kind of just like, "Ooh, you were bad. You're the biggest threat to the multiverse." And then it's, I don't know, all that just felt very unnecessary. Apart from the fact that they're having these like small cameos, like I felt like that was baggage we didn't need that could have been cut. Like the whole battle between him and the dude, whose name I don't remember, but
yeah,
he was like, "Give me the book," and they're like, "Oh, we're voting." Like, all that just felt very weighty compared to like what Wanda was doing. At the same time, like we kept cutting back, and Professor X is kind of just like, "Oh, I believe that you can do better," and it's like, "What are we doing here?" Like, at least give us something, or I don't know, make it more interesting instead of just being like, "Oh, Reed Richards is here." Like, I don't know. Like,
yeah, I would say I disagree with that. I'll get into why, but I think that is something I did like, but not for the reasons maybe other people liked it, because I don't really care about cameos. But yeah, for me, I've talked about all like negative things, but I really like this movie. So some positive things that I liked. Like I said, beyond the visuals and like the technical stuff and the horror stuff, like I'll maybe talk about that a little bit, but story wise, I actually think that even though this is a very thin narrative and like it's very A to B, like there's not really much fluff. And it's basically just like, I don't know. It's not as in depth as maybe it could have been, but I do think that the character ideas that it does have are pretty interesting. For a Marvel movie anyway, of this, that they didn't really maybe need to include. I think at this point, they can just throw heroes together and it doesn't really matter why they're together because they're in the movie. But I think that they were good about giving a reason for both Wanda and Strange to be in this movie, a character reason, because they connected their characters and their struggles for, like, just who they're going to be, basically, you know, and, like, the desire to maybe go to another multiverse, like, because they are basically the same character, like they're having the same internal conflict, and so I think it was interesting that they were able to parallel them in that way and give a reason for it rather than just like, oh, it's Wanda because now she needs to be the villain now. Like, they were connected in terms of the narrative as well, and I thought that was cool because that doesn't always happen, is they don't usually think like that about that stuff. And it just gave a nice story reason, and I gave Strange a good character arc. Very basic, you know, where it's like, am I going to be evil or am I going to be good? But it's like, it's something. And it gave me a reason to maybe care about him more. Because it is sad to think, like, that there's in maybe another universe that, like, if you have a dream and you don't have that dream, but, like, in another universe, the other you has achieved that, you know, or they have what you want. And to think that, like, what is wrong about you, you know, and, like, your version of you. And I think, like, they were able to connect them in that, I don't know, I can connect to that a little bit. And so I like that. I think in terms of the technical stuff, man, this movie's really cool. I think it definitely gets, I mean, really good. It gets good once they leave New York. And I think once that cameo thing is when it really, like, picked up for me. I think the cameo scene, I actually liked. I think that there's some people that are annoyed, like, why there's cameos for no reason. I think, like, obviously they're going to have to put in cameos. Like, they need to set up this stuff that's just part of Marvel movies at this point. It's, like, a necessary evil. But they were able, in my opinion, to use the cameo characters in a way that was relevant to the story because it I mean, obviously, we know that these characters are powerful. They're on the Illuminati. They're versions. Some of them are versions of characters we already know. And so we know they're powerful and we know who they are. And so that scene of Wanda annihilating all of them, destroying all of them, is a really good way of raising the stakes and showing us like how evil she's become. Whereas I think if it was just like a bunch of guards in the room that she killed in that way, even though it still would have been just as cool to see her like snap people's necks and like throw the shield through people, that was so cool. I think that us knowing that these characters are powerful and also maybe having like imagined attachments to these characters gave that a lot more weight than it could have had. And I think him going to the council, I mean, maybe it could have been shortened, but it is part of his arc where he had, if like he thinks that he's evil in every universe, is he going to like accept that part of himself, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I think that is all fine.
So like, I think even though maybe it was too long, maybe he didn't need to fight that one guy at the end that was like, I'm the only one here, so I'm going to vote, which isn't even how it works. What is he talking about? Like, I really, and like from that point on, I had so much fun with this movie because they have that chase scene, which is just like so cool that they were like, the way that they shot that, and like, I don't know, they just let him do it and it looks really fun. And I was like just having a blast. I loved how, like, I mean, everyone gasped. I think there was, it seemed like people were kind of mad when like she like threw the shield through her, and I, that stuff is just like what I like. I just think that stuff is so fun. From that point on, it was just a blast. I think I loved the other world he went to, the little shadow world, I guess, with all the, with the evil Doctor Strange was cool. And they were just able to a lot of creative things. It's hard to kind of talk about it because it's just like, just things like visual things and like little fights. The music note fight was very cool. And that's, I think, a version of, like you were saying, using magic in an interesting way. That was a really good use of like magic. Like if you have a magic character, don't just make them have a magic sword, because then it's just like they have a sword.
Yeah.
Like, make them use their magic in cool ways.
Well, and in magic in a practical space. So, like, they're using the things around them with their magic, I think, is what also made that scene cool, opposed to just, like, conjuring stuff out of the air. Like, they were using, kind of, like, use the harp or whatever to do the final Kazinga.
Final Kazinga, yeah. It's even, we didn't really talk about this, but towards the beginning with when Wanda attacks the Sanctum, I thought that scene used magic really cool with like the shields and like how she got in the shield. I think they just had a better idea of how to use the magic, I guess, in this movie rather than just using it like magic whips.
Mm-hmm.
And then the ending, there's nothing cooler than a guy possessing his own dead body. I just gotta say, that's like, you can't really get much cooler than that. And that was obviously a huge Evil Dead reference. I mean, they like copied the shot basically, which was just cool to see. And it's cool to see like people kind of know that. Like I saw a couple of people were like obviously like reacted to that in ways like they understood that that was a reference, which is cool because that's like, I don't know. It just shows like it's just more like a real movie to me and with that stuff. It makes it feel realer rather than just like this is another episode in the corporate franchise of Marvel. And it was stuff like that that made me really have a lot of fun with this.
Wow, great.
Yeah, I thought it was really fun. I just like people dying in cool ways, I guess. I think that's really what I like.
Wow.
And that is what he's very good at that. He's very good at finding cool ways to do that. I felt like I had something else to say. I don't know. It's also kind of funny. I thought that was very, there was a lot of funny moments in this movie where like different kinds of humor than Marvel usually does, so that was fun.
Yeah.
Fortify your minds.
Oh my gosh.
That was a great line.
Yeah, I don't really have much else to say about it. I don't feel particularly strongly either way on it. I thought it was good. I don't know how quickly I'll jump to rewatch it. I enjoyed parts of it and certain sequences that you already mentioned, like music sequence, yeah. I thought was pretty cool. I thought the end sequence was exciting, and her Wanda's kind of conclusion of, because I think really the only thing that could have stopped her was her seeing her boys and her boys responding to her.
Yeah. I thought that was a great scene. That scene was good.
Which is kind of what I thought was going to happen.
Right.
Because
if she's the only most powerful person, she's the only one that can stop herself, you know? Like, there's nothing they can do to stop her, so she has to stop herself.
Yeah. But yeah, I don't really have anything else to say about it.
What's last question? Do you think she is dead?
Who, Wanda?
Wanda.
I don't know.
I don't think she's dead. I mean, obviously they're saying
was
she's dead.
Was she supposed
but it's like,
to have died?
Yeah, I think she, yeah, I think if that's what Doctor Strange said. I think he thinks she's dead.
Okay, well, but she's probably
she's
not.
Dead. But, because, like,
I think she has
maybe
a contract still. I think she has a longer contract.
Yeah, well, I think they were, like, saying, like, maybe he thought that, like, that red spark that went out was her dying, you know?
Sure.
But they'll probably do, like, an opening scene in one of the movies where, like, they go back to that time and we see her in the thing and that's actually, like, her disappearing, going somewhere else. I don't know. It's going to be something
like
that.
I think she still has multiple things left in her contract. I don't think her contract's done.
Well, yeah, I was mostly asking it as like a joke because it's funny that it's like they're trying to make us like believe that when people are smart enough at this point to know most people never
die.
Well,
that was like when there were rumors that Bucky was going to die in Falcon and Winter Soldier and I was like, he has like 5 movies still left in his contract. Like, what are you talking about? Like, it just is kind of funny the way they try to, like, lead you to believe certain things.
Right. Yeah, it is. It is. It is funny. As terms of, we want to do maybe just a quick ranking of the Phase 4 movies of Marvel, just to give everyone an idea of maybe where we're at. I think this has been a mixed bag so far, definitely. Both the shows and the movies, but definitely the movies. I really only kind of like 2 of them. But my ranking from top to bottom would be Doctor Strange 2, No Way Home, Black Widow, Eternals, Shang-Chi. I think that's what it is. Yes, that's what it is.
Yeah, so my ranking is No Way Home, Multiverse of Madness, Black Widow, Shang-Chi, and Eternals. But, like, I don't know. Like, No Way Home was the only one I, like, really liked. I enjoyed Multiverse of Madness, maybe like I didn't feel like I was picking stuff apart as much as I was with Black Widow, but maybe that's just like because I'm more ambivalent to Marvel content right now. I did not like Shang-Chi and I did not like Eternals. So those are just like gonna be at the bottom.
Yeah, those are the 2 where
forever.
I just will never watch those again probably.
But yeah, future of Marvel, I don't know.
This is pretty exciting, but I don't really think that, like, the reasons I find this movie exciting are not, like, things that I'll see in future movies, besides America Chavez. Like, I think she's exciting, but, like, the technical things aren't things that, like, are going to carry on. Sam Raimi's not going to make every Marvel movie, so, I agree. Like, I don't know, like, the future shows, obviously, are all new characters, so I'm not sure about them.
Yeah, I don't know what's going to happen. I think Thor will be fun, I'm hoping.
Yeah.
And you know, we've got some stuff down the pipe that may or may not be good. I guess we'll find out. But
Ant-Man Quantumania,
Ant-Man
back to that
Quantumania.
One. We don't know.
It's coming.
I'm excited for the Guardians of the Galaxy Christmas special. That will be fun this year.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think Thor will be fun too. Like you said, that'll be just like a fun summer movie. And the same with this one. I'm interested to see like if they let Taika go even more. Like crazy.
I think they will.
But because I think the third one actually is not very good because it's like feels that one to me feels like a clash of his style and the Marvel style, you know, which is what I was afraid this one would be, Multiverse of Madness. But I think like at this point, this shows that they're pretty open to letting their directors have creative freedom over like the visual stuff and like how it's shot and everything. So I think it will be a lot more of his style in this one.
Sure.
So yeah, I'm excited. The trailer played before this one and that was fun to see. Everyone was very excited for it. So yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, I didn't even say this, but in the theater, I went on opening night and I got the privilege of sitting next to a Doctor Strange cosplay.
Wow.
So that was great for me. Out of every theater seat in the theater, that was the one that I had to pick.
That's so funny.
Yeah, it was. He was very enthusiastic. I'll say that.
I went to a subtitle screening of this. We didn't even talk about theater experiences. But I went to a subtitle screening.
Yeah, I mean,
of this.
It was fine. It was a regular theater experience. Yeah.
Yeah, because I've learned that at my theater, the way to not have a bunch of other people there is to go to the subtitled screenings that AMC does. Because there's usually some people, but never as many. So mega win for me. But I had a mom in my row that came with her family.
Right.
There were a couple kids, and she would say stuff, and it was really funny. When America Chavez's moms were in her memory, she was like, moms. And then
what is this, mom?
And then when the Illuminati, like when they were like the Illuminati, which like is a comic book thing, but like I guess for people, like they think of the Illuminati like the conspiracy, and so she's like, Illuminati. And then,
which is funny because this has like so many violent things when like she has kids with her, but those are the things that
her kids were like a little bit older. They were like high school kids,
but still.
Yeah, she laughed at the ending, the like final post credit scene, so that was kind of funny.
Which was that I thought the post credit scenes in this one were pretty weak in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree.
Mid credits were like, again, so fast, like no time to process. And then the Bruce Campbell thing is funny, but, like, I don't know. I also felt that was kind of mean when he made him, like, hit himself and he was like, he'll stop in, like, 4 weeks. I'm like, what are you,
weeks? The guy
this man
was
just... This man just didn't want to, like, is trying to make a living selling his hot dogs, and you literally make him punch himself.
Yeah, what
for
was
4 weeks.
Really funny was the, there was a Marvel film bro behind me. You know what I'm talking about? Like the Marvel guy and the way they talk.
Yes.
No offense to Marvel film bros. If you're nice and appreciate women, then you're fine. But yeah, he, after that scene, you know how they're like really loud in the theater when they comment on something?
Yeah, I sat next to one.
Yeah, so.
I sat next to a cosplayer.
It did that last post-credit scene, and he was like really loud. He was like, now that was not what I was expecting. That was not what I was expecting. And then he was like.
He said that about the Bruce Campbell one?
Yeah, he was like, but I'm not mad about it. It was kind of worth it. It just wasn't what I was expecting. I was like, bro.
What are you talking about
right
now?
It was just so funny. I was like, what?
No, the dude next to me yelled so loud when he saw Bruce Campbell on screen. He was so excited. Like, he was like, yes! Oh my gosh! Like, he like stood up and clapped.
Oh, wow. Okay, yeah. Like, no one in my theater had very strong reactions to literally anything. Like,
wow, that's a bummer. I think that helped because there was like when the big kills, I was like, the people were
pretty
shocked.
I'm trying to remember. Oh, the only thing that I remember them having a strong reaction to, I don't know if your theater did, was when in the very first battle, when the eyeball gets ripped out.
Oh,
of
yeah,
the thing,
that was cool.
Everyone in the theater was like, ew.
Like, it's like a 3D movie.
Like, it was
like
a collective, like, oh, no. Like, everyone in the theater was like, bleh. It was just
That's really funny.
I was like, of all the things to react to, I don't know. It just cracked me up.
The guy like getting impaled by a fence.
Yeah, it was
a
CGI
falling.
Eye ripping out of the giant starfish. Octopus. Sorry. Starfish was
Starfish is from
Squad.
Suicide Squad. Come on, get your
hey,
superhero
a giant
movies
creature
together.
With a big eye. I don't know what else to tell you. Like,
man, remember Suicide Squad?
Wow.
That was a movie. All right, so moving then into our outro, our question of the week for this week. So we have pitched two spinoff shows for Marvel. We pitched Flashpoint, which that was like, was it like a news?
Yeah, news flash. Yeah. Like vlog style videos.
Yeah,
a flash vlog
from Spider-Man.
Yes, flash and then vlogs. We just pitched Wong's School of Magic, where we get some magic lessons from Wong, a couple short. So we're talking like basically short webisode, you know, 7 minute episodes, 6 to 8 episodes, something very quick. So pitch us your best spinoff. It would be. I'm trying to think of another one.
Well, we don't want to give any ideas, but I don't even, I don't know, think we even said the full question. The question is like, pitch us your Marvel spinoff show. And if you want to have the long, like, just try to, not like a Moon Knight thing, you know, it's gotta
maybe
be like funny.
Dr. Stephen Grant teaches you Egyptology. Like,
yeah, wow. Educational.
There's a freebie. Let us know.
Just give me a character. Give me a character.
There's just so many. I'm trying to think of one that's actually still like in the universe.
Being used.
Maybe like Daredevil.
I don't know anything about Daredevil.
Oh, he's a lawyer. Sorry, I'll give you a different one. Oh, maybe do a Billy and Tommy.
Okay. Billy and Tommy, the reboot of that Naked Brothers Band show. They are in a band. You know that Nickelodeon one where they make a band?
Uh-huh. And yeah. They're singing, like that kind of show. Songs.
And they try to get gigs and
Billy and Tommy, SoundCloud rappers.
It's like the SNL with Pete Davidson and Timothy Chalamet.
Yeah.
Remember that? It's like them. Or it's like Bill and Ted. One of the two.
I could also see them doing like video game reviews, like Twitch streaming.
Twitch streaming.
Billy and Tommy.
Yes.
Twitch streaming.
But it would be like witch streaming.
Ooh.
Because of Scarlet Witch. Billy and Tommy's witch streams.
Wow. That's good. Disney, hire us.
Wow. We could just do a whole episode on making up.
Yeah, just throw a hero at us and we'll figure. Wait, give me another one.
All right, I'm trying to think. I'm thinking through. MJ, Zendaya one.
Oh, okay. Maybe like coffee baristaing with MJ.
Yeah.
How to be a barista.
Barista,
or like
barista training.
Yeah, like making latte art, maybe like kind of snarky and, you know.
Or college vlogs on like for freshman year, college vlogs.
That would be good.
As well. Yeah, it'd be like another Flashpoint thing.
It could be like another educational, like science with MJ or like STEM studies with MJ. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, maybe she's doing like community service or something for something.
Women
she
in
did.
Science. She does women science,
STEM.
Right?
I think so. Something like that.
Yeah, I mean, she was going to go to MIT or whatever, so.
Yeah, well, she did, didn't she?
They got in. Yeah, they got in.
Good for them. MIT vlogs. Okay, so yeah. Anyway, that's our question. Is come up with one of those. There's so many. Marvel spinoff show. We'd love to hear them and then maybe talk through them next episode. It'd be very fun. You can answer that question on any of our social medias. Like, just add us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. You can also like email it to us if that's something you want to do as well.
And
while you're there,
we'll read it in the next episode.
We'll read them all. And then while you're kind of like on your phone doing all that, you might as well just go over to Apple Podcasts or Spotify and give us a 5-star rating and review on Apple Podcasts. That would be great.
Yeah. So our next episode will be talking about music scores, film scores, and we'll be sharing some composers that we like, what kind of style of film score we like, and then we'll be telling you our top 5 film scores of all time.
That's gonna be tough. Gonna be a tough one.
Yeah. So
And it's one of those where like I have, it's kind of like all like favorite songs. Like you have the one or two that you know are definitely in the list, but then everything else is like, I really like 10 of these, and I don't know how I'm gonna pick.
Yeah, so you should see, I have, like, my locks, and then I have a list of, like, almost ones that I like, and then a list of a couple that I'm like, ooh, I really liked these for a while.
Mm-hmm.
But you
can
we'll
do some honorable mentions. Yeah. We'll get in a couple honorable mentions there, but we'll also, we gotta make a 5.
Yeah, it's gonna be good, I think.
Yeah, definitely. I'm excited. So we will have that episode out next Tuesday at 10 a.m., where all of our episodes come out. All right. Well, thank you all for listening. And until next time, I'm Noah.
And I'm Kayla.
And we're
your
secondhand film critics. Fortify your minds.